Lord Peter Wimsey. Starring Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter and Peter Jones as Bunter. The Five Red Herrings by Dorothy L. Sayers. Adapted in 8 episodes by Chris Miller. Episode 1, The Body in the Burn.
Willie? When you've a moment, old lad.
I will not. What can I be getting you?
Same again, please. Waters, you going to have another?
No, thanks, Wimsey. Don't think I will. I've got to be up early in the morning. Worse luck.
Ach, you English. You can't even talk a wee dram of whiskey for fear of your bare heads.
Oh, God, Campbell. I thought you'd gone home. Do be quiet, there's a good fellow. You're getting on my nerves.
Do be quiet, there's a good fellow. You're getting on my nerves. Ha! You great English Molly. No wonder you Southerns need Scotsmen to run your bloody country for you.
You're still harping on that? Who says we do, anyway?
All the big administrative posts in London are held by Scotsmen, aren't they? And what about the army? Every time yon English regiments go to pieces, they have to send for Scottish officers to control them.
Do they really?
Aye. And you ask anybody who was in the war, my lad. They'll tell you what they thought of the job.
Yes, I know what they said. They bragged too much.
What?
I agree. The trouble with all you Scotties is that you have an inferiority complex.
You bloody patronizing bastard.
No, Mr. Campbell.
Right, Campbell, I'll break your ruddy neck for that, you dirty hearted tyke.
Good
time.
Come along, come along. Shut it, Waters, shut it.
Come on, way, Campbell, man. This is no way to behave. Be quiet.
That's better. Come on now, this ain't the League of Nations. I'm up here in Galloway for a fishing holiday, not a civil war. Take on both your houses. Have a bit of sense.
He called me a bastard. I'm damned if I stand it. He better keep out of my way, that's all.
You'll find me if you want me. And I'll say it again. He's a bastard.
You'll be thinking better of it in the morning. Come along. I'll give you a lift back to Gatehouse.
Yeah, you be damned, McAdam. I've got my own car, and I can drive it. And I don't want to see any of the whole blasted lot of you again.
Dear, dear.
Quite.
Aye, Campbell will be getting into trouble one of these days. I shouldn't wonder. The manners of him are past all bearing. Did you hear what he said to Strachan up at the golf course the other day? Making himself out to be the boss of the whole place. Strachan, a secretary to the club, told him that he saw him on the course again, he'd wring his neck.
Aye, I was hearing that too.
Aye. And I would not blame Strachan either. Yes, Campbell only lived 2 seasons in Gatehouse, and he's setting the whole of Galloway by the ears. He's a devil when he's drunk and a lout when he's sober. It's a great shame. Our little artistic community has always gotten on well together without giving offence to anybody. And now there are nothing but rows and bickerings all through this fellow Campbell.
It's best to pay no attention to him. If he gets what is coming to him, I'm thinking not be from anybody here.
You'll be thinking of Hugh Farren?
I'll be naming no names, but it's still well known that he's made trouble for himself with a certain lady.
It's no fault of the ladies.
I'm not saying it is, but there's some gets into trouble without others to help them tate.
I shouldn't have fancied Campbell in the role of homebreaker.
I shouldn't fancy him at all. But he fancies himself quite enough, especially as a painter. Did you hear what he said to Matthew Gowan? Had the blasted cheek to say he was an out-of-date blunderer.
You say that's high treason, ain't it?
I should think so. Gowan's a real painter. My God, it makes me hot to think of it. He actually said it in the Arts Club in Edinburgh, too, before a whole lot of people, friends of Gowan's.
Really? What did Gowan say?
He gave as good as he got. He told Campbell that the only artistic things about him were his plaid cloak and big hat. They're not on speaking terms now.
Is there a single person in the Stuartry Campbell hasn't had crosswords with? He's even fallen out with his next-door neighbour, Ferguson, I'm told, after backing his car into Ferguson's wall. And wasn't there some talk of a row about fishing?
Oh, aye. Him and Jock Graham is just the daggers drawn about it.
Particularly after Campbell had tried to duck him in the fleet.
Did he, Bridger?
Aye, but he got well ducked himself for his pains.
Well, Strachan, Farren, Gowan, Ferguson, Graham, and now you, Waters. Campbell's certainly doing his best to make himself unpopular. However, it's best to be patient and take no notice, I suppose. Come on, Waters, it's getting late. We better make tracks.
Hey,
afternoon, will he? I'll have a pint of that excellent heavy of yours, if I may.
I'm allowed. Did you hear about Mr. Campbell?
Aye, what further trouble has he managed to get into since last night?
He's dead.
Dead?
Mackay. McCallum's just brought the news in from Gatehouse of Fleet. They found the body at 2 o'clock up in the hills by Newton Stewart.
Good heavens. What did he die of?
Just tumbled into the barn and drowned himself, for what they say.
Good gracious me. Yeah, an accident, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
He was seen painting there shortly after 10 this morning on the wee bit high ground by the brig. And Major Dougal gaed back 2 o'clock and spied the body lying in the barn.
I think I'll just toddle over there in the car and have a look at him. Corpses are rather in my line, you know. Where is the place exactly?
About 2 miles this side of Bergrennan. There's a wee brig over the burn. It's away to your left of in that.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Yes, I think I know the place. What's the burn called?
The Minna.
Ah, yes, of course. Well, I'll be off then. I don't want to miss all the fun, do I? No doubt the police are up there already.
Aye. Sergeant D.L. of Newton Stewart.
Ah, splendid. I like D.L. Well, I'll see you later, old lad. You know, I don't mind betting this is the most popular thing that Campbell ever did. Nothing in life became him like the leaving of it, eh? What?
D.L.? Ah, there you are.
Aye, my lord. I doubted you'd be here before very long. We've just brought the body up from the barn if you want to take a peek.
Oh, I'd like that very much.
You'll know Dr. Cameron, maybe?
No. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, my lord.
And how is the corpse?
Well, I've examined him.
Huh?
He's been dead for several hours, I would say. The rigor, you see, is well developed.
Was he drowned?
I cannot be certain about that. But my opinion, mind you, it is only my opinion, is that he was not. The bones of the temple are fractured, and I would be inclined to say he got his death in falling or in striking the stones in the burn.
Ah. Yes, he's got knocked about a bit. And I don't wonder going down that bank full tilt. I suppose he must have stepped back to admire his painting and gave one step too far.
It's a dangerous place. Well, now, Doctor, I'm thinking we should be getting the body into the car.
Righty-ho. I'll take a look at this painting here. Unless I can help you with the lifting, Sergeant.
No. Thank you for the offer, my lord, but Constable Ross and I can manage by ourselves.
Splendid.
Ross, over here, lad.
Now then, let's have a look. I say, that's interesting. That is very interesting indeed.
D.L.?
My lord?
Come over here a moment, would you?
Reconstructing the accident, my lord.
Not exactly. Just looking for something. Have you searched the corpse's pockets?
No yet, my lord. Time enough for that at the station. It's purely a formality, you know.
It's not a lad.
What do you mean?
There's something fishy about this, D.L. Could you get the constable to turn the pockets out now?
Aye, my lord. Ross, empty the pockets, will you, and bring what you find over here. What would you be looking for, exactly?
Well, now, see here. This is Campbell's satchel with most of his belongings in it, except his palette and painting knife, which are over there on the stool.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, a flask of whiskey, tumbler, sandwiches, brushes, a packet of fags, and 9 tubes of paint. To wit, a half-pound tube of vermilion spectrum, unused. Ultramarine number 2, half full. Chrome yellow, nearly full. Viridian, cobalt, crimson lake, rose madder as good as finished, and a half-pound lemon yellow, partly used and very dirty. Well, Sergeant, what's missing? Ah, maybe the constable's found it.
Oh, thank you, Ross. Here we are, my lord. His handkerchief, a catalogue for something or other, a corkscrew, his watch, his pocket comb, a book of stamps, some loose cash, his keys, and a small notebook. Is any of those what you were expecting?
No. You know, I don't like the look of this at all, D.L. Look here, there is just one possibility. It may have rolled down the bank. For God's sake, get your people together and hunt for it now. Now, don't lose a minute.
But my lord, could you not be telling us what would we be searching for?
For heaven's sake, Sergeant, ain't it obvious? Look at the painting, man. Look at the painting. What color are the clouds?
Eh? White, my lord.
Exactly. So where is the white paint? Who took the flake white? Well, any luck, Sergeant?
We've searched high and low, my lord, but we can't find it.
Well, in that case, you had better go to the coroner. No, of course, you don't keep coroners in these parts, do you? The Procurator Fiscal is the lad.
Oh,
you had better go to the Fiscal and tell him that the man has been murdered.
Murdered?
Yes, Sergeant. Okay, likewise, hoots, murdered is the word.
But, my lord, what makes you come to that conclusion?
The rigidity of the corpse, the fact that you can't find the flake white, certain smears of tar, which I've just discovered on the back cushions of Campbell's car, and last but not least, the character of the deceased himself. He was a man anybody might have felt proud to murder.
Hmm. The rigidity of the corpse, now. Well, that'll be a matter for you, Doctor.
I confess that has been puzzling me. If the man had not been seen alive just after 10 o'clock this morning, I would have said he would have been nearer 12 hours dead.
So should I. On the other hand, you'll notice that the paint on the painting, which was put on with the Copal Quick drying medium, is still comparatively wet, in spite of the hot sun and the dry air.
Aye. So I'm forced to the conclusion that the chill of the water produced early rigor.
Aye. Yes, well, I do not submit to force. I prefer to believe that the man was killed about midnight. It's my theory that the murderer brought the body here this morning in Campbell's own car. He was wearing Campbell's soft hat and that foul plaid cloak of his, so that anybody passing might mistake him for Campbell. He had the body on the floor of the tonneau, and on top of it he had a push cycle, which has left tarry marks on the cushions here, look. Mm-hmm. Tucked in over the whole lot, he had this rug, which has tar marks on it too. Then I think he dragged out the corpse, carried it up the sheep track on his shoulders, and tumbled it into the barn. Then, still wearing Campbell's hat and cloak, he sat down and faked the picture. When he'd done enough to create the impression that Campbell had been here painting, he simply hopped on his pushbike and went away. But he made one mistake. He took with him the flake white.
That's a very interesting theory, my lord, but...
You can test it, you can test it. If anybody saw Campbell this morning to speak to, or close enough to recognize his face, then, of course, it's a washout.
I'll no see you're no right.
Good lad. Now, let's consult the map and see what our murderer has to do next. Now, here he is, with only a bicycle to help him, and he's got to dissociate himself from this place as quickly as possible. Well, it looks as if his best bet would be to go northwest and strike the railway by hill. From there, he could get a train either north of Glasgow or south to Stranraer in Ireland. If I were you, I'd have a hunt in that direction.
Uh-huh. And who do you think, my lord, would be the likeliest person to have committed the crime?
Well, the murderer has got to be an artist, and I can think of half a dozen artists with perfectly good motives and the necessary talents. Mr. Waters told me yesterday evening, when I escorted him home, that Campbell was a very easy painter to copy. And I dare say the others who quarrelled with Campbell think the same. However, I might be able to put my finger on the guilty man for you, Sergeant.
Oh, well, if you do find him, my lord, you'll let us know.
I will. If, of course, he doesn't slay me first.
Hello, Bunter. What's for dinner? I'm feeling uncommonly ready for it. Do you know, Bunter, there is a beautiful corpse up at Creetown?
Yes, my lord. I was informed about the discovery of Mr. Campbell's body and apprehended that your lordship would be engaged in investigation. Not being certain of the exact hour of your lordship's return, however, I thought it wiser to prepare a dish of stewed beef with thick gravy and vegetables, which could, in case of necessity, be kept hot without deterioration.
Excellent.
Thank you, my lord. I understand from the butcher that the portion of the animal which I have been accustomed to call shin of beef is termed in these parts the hoch.
I believe you're right, Bunter.
I did not take the man's word for it. I inspected the carcass and ascertained that the correct cut was removed from it.
You are always so thorough.
I do my best, my lord. Would your lordship desire me to refer to the commissible as Hoch during our residence in this country?
It would be a graceful concession to national feeling, Bunter, if you can bring yourself to do it.
Very good, my lord.
And now let me tell you about my investigation so far.
As your lordship pleases.
Sandy Campbell was murdered, Bunter. Probably last night, and almost certainly by someone who knew him well. This morning, the murderer drove up to the Minnoch and pretended to be Campbell painting, in order to establish some sort of alibi for himself.
I understand, my lord.
I spend it. Now, take a look at this. I stopped at the Anworth Hotel in Gatehouse for tea and potato scones on my way back and made out a list of suspects.
Six gentlemen, I observe, my lord.
Precisely. All of whom quarrelled with Campbell at one time or another. What else do you observe, Bunter?
That they are all artists, my lord. Furthermore, that they are all tall, physically powerful gentlemen, capable, I would imagine, of lifting and carrying a dead body with ease.
Very good, Bunter. Anything else?
Three of the gentlemen, Messrs. Waters, Farron and Gowan, live here in Kukubri, while the other three, Messrs. Graham, Strachan and Ferguson, reside in Gatehouse of Fleet, my lord.
And as Campbell was last seen roaring drunk in Kukubri, about to go home to Gatehouse, he could have been murdered in either place, what?
Or somewhere between the two, my lord.
True. Well, I started at Campbell's cottage. It's at the bottom of a small lane overlooking the Fleet, and Ferguson lives next door in a very similar establishment. The police had locked Campbell's, of course, but I did manage to dig out Mrs. Green, his daily woman, who lives not far away. She informed me that Campbell had his breakfast this morning and was away out by the time she arrived at 8 o'clock, leaving his cottage in much the same state as usual.
But, my lord, I understood you to say that Mr. Campbell was murdered last night.
Exactly, Bunter. Which means somebody ate his breakfast for him. Presumably the murderer. Now, Campbell's and Ferguson's cottages share a common entrance yard, so that everything that's done in one can be overlooked from the other. Therefore, if anything unusual did happen in Campbell's cottage, either last night or this morning, Ferguson could scarcely have failed to see something of it. On the other hand, if Ferguson saw nothing, probably nobody did, because there are no other close neighbours.
Did you talk to Mr. Ferguson, my lord?
No. He's disappeared.
My lord?
Unfortunately. He can, however, be accounted for. He went to Glasgow on the 9/8 this morning, having bought a first-class return valid for 3 months. Apparently, he travelled the 6 miles up to Gatehouse Station by bus and told the booking clerk he'd left his car at home because the magneto had broken down. I think he was probably telling the truth, too, because when I examined his car in his garage, there was no magneto there, indicating that he'd probably taken it to Glasgow for repairs.
It should be possible to confirm the gentleman's visit to the motoring shop or showroom in question, my lord.
Yes. Well, that's a routine job for DL and his myrmidons. But Ferguson does seem to be in the clear so far, which is more than I can say for Strachan.
Mr. Strachan, my lord, does he not live up near the golf course?
Indeed. So I called in to see if I could fix up a foursome. Mrs. Strachan was in the sitting room, instructing her daughter Myra in the art of plain knitting.
A foursome, Lord Peter? Well, I don't quite know. I don't think Harry is likely to be playing for a day or two. He's had rather a tiresome... Oh, well... I really don't know. Myra, dear, run and tell Daddy Lord Peter Whimsey is here and wants to talk to him. You know, I never like to make any sort of arrangements for Harry. I always manage to put my foot in it.
I hope I'm not being a nuisance, Mrs. Strachan.
Of course not. Ah. How could you be a nuisance? We're always so delighted to see you. And what have you been doing with yourself this beautiful day?
I have been up to the Minnoch to see the body.
The body? How dreadful that sounds. What do you mean? A salmon or something?
No. Campbell. Sandy Campbell. Haven't you heard?
No. What? Has anything happened to Mr. Campbell?
Oh, good Lord, I thought everybody knew. He's dead. He tumbled into the Minnoch and got killed.
Killed? Oh, perfectly dreadful.
Ah.
Oh, Harry, what do you think? Lord Peter says poor Mr. Campbell has been killed up at the Minnoch.
Killed? But what do you mean, Millie? Who killed him?
Of course I don't mean that, Harry. How absurd. And how horrible. He fell into the burn.
What's this all about, Whimsy?
Ah, it's perfectly true, I'm afraid. They found Campbell's dead body in the Minnoch at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Apparently he'd been painting and slipped over the edge of the granite and cracked his skull on the stones.
Ah, that's exactly like Campbell. He walks about, that is, he used to walk about, with his eyes on the canvas, his head in the air, never looking in the least where he was going. Well, he's done it once too often, that's all.
Oh, don't speak in that unfeeling tone. The poor man's dead, and though he wasn't a very nice man, one can't help feeling sorry about it.
Oh, of course, of course. I didn't say I wasn't sorry. I never wished any harm to the fellow.
I say, you seem to have been in the wars a bit yourself. Yes, a splendid black eye you have there.
This. Yes, most ridiculous thing. I was up at the golf course after breakfast when some putrid fool sliced a ball about 1,000 miles off the fairway and got me slap bang in the eye.
But how did
Millie,
you talk?
How tiresome. Who was the blighter?
I haven't the faintest idea. I was completely knocked out for the moment, and when I pulled myself together, I only saw a party of men making off in the distance. I felt too rotten to bother about it. Simply made tracks for the clubhouse and had a drink. Then I came straight home, so that's why I hadn't heard about Campbell. Oh, dash it all, this means a funeral, I suppose. It's a bit awkward. In the ordinary way, we'd send a wreath from the club, but I didn't quite know what to do under the circumstances, because last time he was here, he behaved so badly, I told him to send in his resignation.
It's a nice little problem. But I think I should send one all the same. Shows a forgiving spirit and all that, don't you know what? Keep your vindictiveness for the person who damaged your face. By the way, whom were you playing with? Couldn't he have identified the assassin?
No, I was just having a practice round against Bogey.
Ah.
I caddied for myself, so unfortunately there were no witnesses.
I see. Your hand looks a bit knocked about, too. Oh, must have spent a good bit of time in the rough, huh? Well, I really came round to ask you to make up a foursome tomorrow with Waters and Bill Murray and me, but I don't suppose that you'll, so to speak, feel that your eye is in just yet a while.
Hardly.
Oh, then I'll be puffing off. Cheerio, Mrs. Strachan. Cheerio, ma'am.
Yeah.
Hey, don't bother to see me off the premises. And there's an interesting postscript to all that, Hunter.
Indeed, my lord.
On my way down the road, I met Strachan's young daughter and her nurse taking an evening stroll. Miss Myra Strachan is a most indiscreet young person.
In what way, my lord?
She told me that she thought her father had been fighting, and when subtly questioned about it, she said that he was out all last night.
My lord?
Precisely, Bunter. And he did not come home until lunchtime. Yeah, that was delicious, Bunter.
Thank you, my lord.
Oh, hello, visitors. No, don't you bother. I'll see who it is.
Good evening, my lord.
Ah, D.L., just the man, just the man. Come in, come in, come in, come in. Yeah, sit you down, tell me all. Bunter, would you give the sergeant a whiskey?
Certainly, my lord.
Thank you. Well, I've been making inquiries along the railway in accordance with your theory, my lord.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I'd have you ken that young Jock from Borgen saw Campbell painting aboon the Minnoch as late as 11:05 this morning.
When you say he saw Campbell, do you mean that he knew it was Campbell or that he only thought it was?
No, he doesn't ken Campbell, but he saw a man in a big black hat and a plaid cloak like Campbell was wearing. And he thinks there was a big plaid or rug ligging by the side of him.
Then it must have been the murderer.
Aye, so it may. But it's the time of day I draw your attention to. Now, you'll admit that murderer or no murderer, he could not have left yon place till 11:00 as a result.
Yeah, that seems clear enough.
And now we come to the investigations concerning the railway. As your lordship pointed out, from Bar Hill, our man could have caught a train either to Stranraer or to Glasgow. Well, so far, nothing of consequence has turned up in the Stranraer direction.
And Glasgow?
Well, if your lordship would take a wee look at the timetable.
A train at 12:35? Well, that would be just right, wouldn't it?
Aye, that's what I thought myself. That would give him 1.5 hours for the bicycle journey. So, I telephoned to the station master at Bar Hill, and he told me there was only 4 passengers by that train, and he knowed them all personally.
I see. Well, that rather puts the lid on it then, doesn't it?
Aye, but there's another thing. I didn't rest satisfied with that. I pursued my inquiries at the other stations along the line, and I found there was a gentleman with a bicycle caught that same train at Girvan at 11:01.
What's there, be Jove? Let's have a look at the map. It could be done, dear. It could be done.
Mm-hmm.
Bar Hill is 9 miles from the scene of the crime, and Girvan is, say, 12 miles further on. If he started at 11:10, that would give him 2 hours, which means just over 10 miles an hour. Well, easy enough for a good cyclist. Did the station master give any description of him?
He said the gentleman spoke like an Englishman.
Did he? Oh, Waters is English. Strachan went to Harrow in Cambridge and has an English accent. Gowan speaks broad Scots with the natives, but English with me. But he's got a long black beard. Graham. Yes, he speaks like an Englishman, too. Farron? No, he's unmistakably Scots. And as for Ferguson, well, he has a Scottish accent, but his idiom is English, and his features are totally nondescript. Well, now, D.L., I also, as the lady said, have not been idle.
Oh, my lord.
Here is my list of suspects, which admittedly may not be complete.
Hmm.
Now, you will see I have outlined the nature of the quarrel each of them had with Campbell.
Oh, my lord.
So far, I've only discovered one alibi for Ferguson, who was duly seen onto the 9-8 from Gatehouse. Strachan, on the other hand, was out all night and came home at lunchtime with a black eye. And what is more, he's telling lies about it. He might quite well have been painting up at the Minnick at 11 o'clock and ridden back to Gatehouse by lunchtime. And as for the others, Waters, Gowan, Graham and Farron, well, I haven't even started on them.
Aye, it's a case with a great number of possibilities, my lord.
Yes.
A great number of possibilities.
It is, D.L., indeed it is. And we have only just begun. Bunter?
My lord?
I'm worried about Mr. Waters. He was in a dangerous mood when I left him last night. I ought to find out what he's been up to. I think I'll just pop across the street and see him before he goes to bed.
Mr. Waters has gone to Glasgow, my lord.
What?
Yes, my lord, to see the exhibition of painting. I chanced to fall into conversation with his landlady this morning, and she informed me that he had left Kirkcudbright by the first train.
The 8:45? After last night, I would hardly have expected such energy.
No, my lord.
Well, I hope there's nothing sinister about all this early activity.
I think not, my lord. According to his landlady, Mr. Waters travelled to Glasgow in the company of Miss Selby and Miss Cochrane from across the close.
Oh, that's a relief. He could hardly have gotten to mischief chaperoned by those ladies. Splendid. I think that's another of my suspects I can cross off the list.
Yes, my lord.
I wonder if he's back yet, though. Perhaps I'll wander down to his studio.
I passed the gentleman's studio a short while ago in the course of my evening walk, my lord. There were no lights on, and I concluded that Mr. Waters had not yet returned from Glasgow.
Oh?
Incidentally, my lord, while passing Mr. Farron's house, an odd incident caught my eye.
Hmm?
The door was flung open, my lord, and a long bar of light suddenly streamed across the ground, framed in the door. I observed the silhouette of a woman peering anxiously into the darkness.
Mrs. Farron?
Yes, my lord. At that moment, a man appeared, laid his hand on Mrs. Farron's shoulder and drew her in, shutting the door.
Mr. Farron?
No, my lord. Mr. Strachan.
In that episode of The Five Red Herrings, the parts were played as follows. Lord Peter Wimsey, Ian Carmichael, Bunter, Peter Jones, Murdoch, Bruce Bennett, Waters, Bill Wallace, Campbell and Dr. Cameron, Trevor Martin, McAdam, Alaric Carter, Sergeant D.L., John Graham, Mrs. Strachan, Hazel McBride, and Strachan, Gordon Clyde. The Body in the Burn was adapted by Chris Miller from the book The Five Red Herrings by Dorothy L. Sayers. The program was produced by Simon Brett.